for your peace. We thank you for your greatness. We thank you for your glory. Truly, there's nobody like you. There's nobody that compares to you. Nobody can touch you. Nobody can take your place. You are the Almighty. You are all-knowing. You are everywhere. You are sovereign. You are great. You are magnificent. We extol you. We lift you up. We praise your name. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the creator of the universe. You are the shepherd of the sheep. You are the good shepherd. You are the lily in the valley. You're the bright and morning star. You are everything that we need. You are Alpha. You are Omega. You are beginning. You are end. You have all power. And we thank you and we praise you. And we declare there's nobody like you. And we honor you. Now, God, I'm praying you would hide me beneath the cross. That you would think through my mind. Speak through my vocal cord. That it would be all of you. And it would be less of me. That the people would be eternally touched. Eternally blessed. And no one's coming will be in vain. And Satan's head is under our foot. In Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you just stomp. And make sure he's under your foot. Stomp again and tell your neighbor, he's under my foot. Amen. Today's title was actually stripped from a rap song by Drake called God's Plan. Everybody say God's Plan. I took some time to look at his new video, and it's kind of interesting where he's going through this area. I believe he's in Florida, and he's actually giving out money, just blessing people. He goes into a store and tells everybody, everything in the store is on me, get what you want. Actually just blessing people. And he calls the song God's Plan. I looked at the lyrics, and it didn't really talk so much about God, but it got me thinking about God's plan. First one that got me thinking is, I would love to be in a position to just bless like that. So even though he's a rapper, I'm not going to knock him from blessing people who need a blessing. The Bible says that God gave Elijah bread from the ravens. And the ravens are a dirty bird. And I'm not calling Drake dirty, but God got all kinds of ways to get you your stuff. So when there is a wealth transfer like we're talking about, you ought to believe God. You don't know who you're going to bump into. You don't know who you're going to run into. And like Sister Athelon just said, somebody else will sow, but you can walk into a reaping season because that is God's plan. Somebody say, it is God's plan that I prosper. It is God's plan that I be healed. It is God's plan that I have peace. I could keep going on and on, but there's many things that are part of God's plan, and it behooves you to get in God's plan for you. Don't try to get in God's plan for me, get in God's plan for you, because what works for me may not work for you. Get in God's plan for you, but God has a plan for each and every one of us, and we need to find our way into God's plan. Let's roll and let's read some scripture. Let's go to Jeremiah 1:5.
Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb.
I'm going to stop you right there. It says, before I formed you in the belly. That means before you were even an embryo. That means before you even traveled through the sperm and met the egg, that God had already had a plan for your life. You didn't show up. There is no real accidental birth. An accidental pregnancy. It may have been an accident to the mama, may have been an accident to the daddy, but it wasn't an accident to God. That's why I don't espouse abortion. I don't hang all of my voting on abortion, but I don't espouse abortion because if God allowed it to enter into the womb, God has a plan for it. When you are in eternity, before you even a twinkle in somebody's eye, God had a plan for you. And I want you to know something. When you wake up in 2018 and you got a brand new fresh problem, God already has a plan for the problem. The day you find out about a problem is not the day God found out, because God has always had a plan. The Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. And so read some more of that.
And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
He didn't just have a plan for Jeremiah, but he had a spiritual plan and said that he sanctified him and called him a prophet in the womb. Some of y'all have not moved into what God has had for you spiritually yet. But just because you haven't entered into it doesn't mean God hasn't already planned for it. And when you step into what God has called you, you realize that that's what he's been working all this time. I was born to be a pastor. I was born to lead people. I was born to preach, and that was the last thing I wanted to do. I tried everything else, and I found out something. I'm not good at anything but this. This is what God called me to be. I know my daddy was a preacher, but I'm not a preacher because my daddy was a preacher. I'm a preacher because it's God's plan for my life. And when you find God's plan for your life, you'll find peace, you'll find joy, you'll find provision, you'll find that this fits. Some of y'all are like Goldilocks. You're trying this and trying that, and then you're going to find out in God's plan, good. God's plan is like Campbell's soup. It's good. You can try the dope dealer's plan. You can try the prostitute's plan. You can try the politician's plan, but there's no plan like God's plan. God's plan is the best plan. God's plan is the way to go. God's plan is the greatest because God knows exactly what he's doing. Now, if you go in your car after you leave here and you open up the glove box, if your car is still new enough and you haven't got so much junk in there that you got to dig through, ketchup and got to get through tissue. But most of the time, there is a manual inside the glove box. That means that the manufacturer, when they put together a car, they put a manual in there. So everything you need to know about the car is already hidden inside the car. Everything you need to know about the car is already hidden inside the car. And you might run into some trouble that's already in the manual. I'm here to let you know there's a plan down deep in your spirit. And you may have smoked so much and drugged so much and sex so much that you don't know that God still has a plan for you. But baby, there's something hidden down in your DNA. And if you can just tap into God's plan, your life will turn around. Somebody say, God's plan, God's plan, God's plan. Help me preach this morning. I feel like preaching. Next verse, Jeremiah 29 and 11.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
God said, I even know the thoughts that I think for you. And one version says to give you a hope and a future. In other words, I'm thinking about the plan that I have for your life. And I'm thinking about what I want to do in your life. How many know that there's no way like God's way? The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is death. There's no way like God's way. You can trust the Republicans. You can trust the Democrats. You can trust the Crips. And you can trust the Bloods. You can trust Jay-Z. You can trust Beyonce. But I'm going to put my hope in God. There's no plan like God's plan. Say it. Say there's no plan like God's plan. All right. Now, I did that for a reason. Because I want to turn a corner. Because most of y'all, if y'all here, you trying to follow God's plan. Because you ain't going to waste your time on Sunday morning when you could be at Bedside Baptist coming to the house of God if you wasn't at least trying to be in God's plan. I love my church and I love to preach, but there's some other stuff you could be doing, especially when the sun comes out. You could be doing whatever you want to do, but you're in here, so why would I preach to you about God's plan? Because y'all already on the path. So I want to turn the corner, put this up. God's plan gone wrong. Because a lot of us have tried to follow God's plan, but it didn't quite turn out like I wanted it to turn out. I prayed for my marriage and I still ended in divorce. I prayed for my loved one and they still died. I believe that God is a healer and I still got sick. I gave an offering and I still ended up broke. So sometimes it looks like God's plan has gone wrong. I told you there's no plan like God's plan. But you've been in God's plan. But when you look back over your life, you say to yourself, was it really worth it? They say, actually, Bishop Carlton Pearson, I heard him tell this story, that the first time he met Billy Graham, and they were doing something, and then in the private time, Billy and Bishop Pearson were talking, and Billy said, sometimes I wonder, is it all worth it? A man that preached to souls, but at the end of the day, in your private time, you can go through so much hell and so much attack from the enemy that you look yourself in the face and say, was it worth it? I tried to raise my kids right, but they still messed up. Was it worth it? I brought my child to church. I drug them to church. I gave my child their very first drug problem. I drug them to Sunday school. I drug them to church. I drug them to Bible study. And they still ended up on drugs. Is it worth it? Because sometimes God's plan doesn't always materialize like we want it, because there's a common denominator in God's plan. There's God, there's his plan, and then there's humans. And sometimes we have a way, when we get plugged into the equation, we mess up the plan. God planted a garden eastward in Eden, had all kinds of trees, and just said, hey, I'm going to let y'all run rampant. Just don't bother this tree, but everything else is yours. And you got the tree of life in the middle of the garden. But it was something about humanity that said, I want to look at the one that you said don't touch. It's something about the nature of who we are. The Bible says we've been subjected into vanity. We have been lowered, and there's something about our DNA that says, even though I got God and I got his plan, I got to tinker with it just a little bit. I got to get my input in it. Have you ever tried to tell God how to run your life? Because you know how to run your life. I know he the creator of the universe, and I know he got the stars in the sky, and he tell the ocean when to stop, but he's not moving as fast as I want him to move. Sometimes the reason why your marriage ended up in divorce is you ran ahead of God and got somebody he never told you to get. And so he tried to work the plan. He tried to work it, but it still messed up. So what happened when God's plan goes wrong? All right, next verse. Let's read.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon.
I want to talk to us just about a little theological doctrinal principle, that scriptures are much more greater. That's not good grammar. Let me say it better. Scriptures are discerned better when they're tied to their original context. All scriptures have the ability to be lifted out of their context and they can be preached and talked about. But when you put them in their context, they mean something. So I'm looking at Jeremiah 29:11, where we started at. And that's something that people always preach, that God has a hope and a future and a plan. But when you tie that scripture to its original context, it looks a little different than what we've preached it. And so when you go back up in the chapter, I didn't go all the way, but I went to verse 4. It says that they were actually in captivity. They were actually in bondage. They actually were not delivered. See, we are deliverance temple, but let's not confuse it. We're not all delivered. And there's some stuff in us that still needs some delivering. Even the ones that have deliverance, we still need some delivering. So I want to talk about, how does God's plan work when I'm caught in bondage? How does God's plan work when I'm stuck in something that may have been my fault? How does God's plan work when I didn't do the equation right? Have you ever followed a recipe but didn't follow the recipe? You thought you followed the recipe, but it wasn't until you taste the cake that I messed something up. I don't know what I did. I don't know where I went wrong. All I know It didn't taste like I wanted to take it. I remember one day coming home from third shift, and I said, I want some pancakes. I want some pancakes that had that little crispy edge around it. I want some pancakes. But I don't want to go to the store, to the restaurant. I want to get my own skillet, and I want to put it in there. I want to make my own pancakes. Now, I was too tired to try to make them from scratch, so I at least got the box. And I'm telling you, them pancakes look good. But when I bit into them, I don't know what I did wrong. When I bit into them, they was horrible. I threw the whole pan away. I didn't even go get nothing to eat. It messed my whole appetite up. Don't know where I went wrong, but somewhere down the line, I messed something up, and it was horrible. And sometimes you look yourself in the mirror, and you look back over your life, and you can't even tell when you went wrong. All you know is I'm still in bondage. Read some more.
Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them.
Now this is interesting that what God told them, he said, you're in captivity. You're in bondage. And what he said to them, don't try to run. Don't try to get out of it. Start building houses. Now, this is the reason why they didn't like Jeremiah. Everybody else was saying, God gonna fix it. God gonna turn it around. God gonna make it work. God gonna bring you out. Jeremiah said, you're gonna be here while I build some houses. Sometimes in God's plan, we only want to hear the good stuff. We only want to hear the stuff that's going to make us shout and make us turn around. And if you turn around and spin and spit over your shoulder and put $5 in the offering, God going to fix all your problems. But life don't work like that. So what Jeremiah prophetically said, he said, you know what? Get used to what you're in. Start building some houses. Plant some gardens. Read some more.
And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace.
Oh, this is interesting. Jeremiah, they really didn't like Jeremiah. He said, you're going to be in here a while. He said, the people that have you captive, start praying for them. The people that have done you wrong, seek their peace. We don't like that kind of preacher. We like God gonna give me a table in the presence of my enemies. God gonna let my haters watch me be blessed. But Jeremiah told the people, start praying for the folk that's doing you wrong. Start praying for your ex-husband. The devil is a lie. That ain't God. I don't believe that. Start praying for Donald Trump. I don't believe that. But Jeremiah said, pray for the peace of your captives, and pray unto the Lord, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. When you learn how, even in a bad situation, to make the best of it, God says, I'll bless you, but you're going to be in this for a while. You're going to be hurt for a while after this, but make the best of it. What God was saying, he said it before Beyonce said it, take lemons and make lemonade. Because God don't always drop lemonade out of the sky. Sometimes life gives you lemons, but what can you do with it? If you understand at the end of the day, I'm still in God's plan. Whatever comes at me, there's a way I can make it work to my favor. Let's read some more. We're going to read this in the English Standard Version.
But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare.
Pastor, I can't wait to get out of Muncie. There ain't nothing in Muncie for me. Muncie too slow for me. But if you're still here, you might as well pray for Muncie. If you're still here, you might as well work for the betterment of it. Don't always try to run away. How can you make a difference? The Bible says that we are light. And how are we going to be light if we only in light places? You have to encounter dark if your light ever's going to shine. And we don't want God's plan to ever take us through valleys and dark places. But if you're going to be the light, you got to know how to go through the dark places. You got to know how to go through the rough places.
You got to know how to go through the poisonous, bitter places and still rise to the top. You got to know how to go through hell and hot water and still give God praise. You got to deal with bitterness and unforgiveness and folk lying on you and still be able to give God praise. God's plan doesn't always keep you on the mountaintop. Sometimes God's plan puts you right down in the valley. But the same God that got Jesus out of hell can raise you up. You still can make it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm still going to make it. I don't care how hard, I don't care how much I hurt, God's plan, some way, somehow, I'm going to make it. I understand the old singers that said, I got a feeling everything going to be all right. My bills haven't changed. My money hasn't changed. My education hasn't changed. But I got a feeling. Sometimes I'm dancing not over what I have. I'm dancing over what I feel. I know it don't look right, but I got a feeling everything. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray for the welfare of the people that even don't like me, because I believe I'm not staying here all my life. I believe I'm coming out of this. So guess what? I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to be better. That's what Jeremiah was trying to tell them, because the truth of the matter, the reason why they were in exile, it was their own fault. Now God's plan works. But sometimes the stuff you're in is your own fault. I preach grace, and I preach that God will forgive you and God will bring you out of stuff. And I believe it with all my heart. But God doesn't always get rid of your consequences. If you've been evil for the 20 years, you have to expect somebody going to be evil back to you. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man puts out there, you're going to get it. Young man, you want to be a player all your life. And you broke all these girls' hearts. And now you get in church and you find you a girl. Your heart might get broken. And then you're going to be mad at God. But that sometimes it's not God. It's not the devil. It's your own consequences coming back to haunt you. God will help you through your consequences. But some of the stuff you put out there, you got to face. Saints, I know you ain't smoked dope in a while, and I know you ain't drank in a while. Some of y'all. But some of y'all, you've been gossiping all your life. And that stuff comes back around. Oh, saints, the people been lying on me. Oh, they've been lying on me. Yeah, they lying on you, but you're just getting back some of that stuff you put out there. When you lie on others, it's like a boomerang. You can put it out there, but it's going to come back around. So they were in some of the stuff because of their own fault. Let's read some more.
But thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreams.
These prophets that's prophesying to you, say don't listen to them. They prophesying, they sound good. They got an organ behind them, but they lying to you. Because here's the thing about us as preachers and leaders, we don't always like to give bad news. Especially when you're preaching the good news, you want to give good news. But sometimes in order to tell the good news, you got to tell the truth. And sometimes you have to tell people the truth. And so the people in Jeremiah's day, because of the offerings they were getting, they said whatever would make the people happy. Whatever would shout to people. I can shout y'all every Sunday. I know enough word to shout y'all every Sunday, but I don't want to send you out into a dark world giving you false hope. I won't tell you the truth. And Jeremiah told them the truth, and they hated him for it. And Jeremiah got so sick of the people, he said, I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to tell them nothing. I'm going to be quiet. But then he said, but it was like fire shut up in my bones. I couldn't stop telling the truth even if I tried, because it is who I am. Read some more.
For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name, I have not sent them, saith the Lord.
Some of them Facebook prophets you listen to every day, God said, I haven't sent them. You got to learn how to discern. Everybody in a suit ain't a preacher. Everybody that got a title is not anointed. You got to learn how to discern when God is really speaking. And many times when you want to do something and everybody around you says, go ahead, do it. Believe, I believe in that. You need to find somebody else that know you. Go talk to Mother Rankin. She gonna be sweet about it. But when you leave, you're going to get another perspective. Because she can't tell you anything that God did not say and be his servant. Same with me. I can't tell you anything that God did not say. If I say, thus says the Lord, God has to really say it. All right, let's read some more.
But thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place.
God says you're going to be here 74 years. But after those years are accomplished, after, let me put you this way, after your character has been built in the consequence I allowed you to deal with, I will visit you. God said, I know you in something and it's rough and it's hard and I'm not going to pull you out of it, because the reason why you're in it, because it's building your character. There is some stuff you cannot skip over. God cannot bless you over some stuff. I know we're talking about wealth transfer, but if you stingy right now, God's got to process that out of you. If you're evil right now, God has to process that out of you. If you're full of yourself right now, God has to process that out of you. And what looks like Satan sometimes is God standing back and saying, yeah. Because once you have fought long enough, you say, God, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. I want your way, not my way. Many of us are like Burger King Christians. We want it our way, have it your way, but that's not real life. Sometimes you got to be sat down. Sometimes you got to be pushed aside. Sometimes God got to spank your bottom. Sometimes God got to convict you and wrestle with you until you realize that it's his way or no way. But he said, after the 70 years, I'm going to abandon you because I'm sick of y'all. And that's not what he said. He said, after the 70 years, I'm going to be right there waiting for you. Remember the song that we sang, you waited for me? Sometimes God can't get in there, because if he gets in there and messes up, it's not that God doesn't hear your prayer. You go through something that you need. Give you an example. I heard a man tell this story. He seen a caterpillar in a cocoon, and it was trying to break through the cocoon. And so he decided, let me help it, because it needs a little help to get through the cocoon and become the butterfly. But what he did, he interrupted the process, and it came out half butterfly, half caterpillar. And it was the ugliest thing, because he put his hands in there and interrupted the process. I know you're going through hell, but it's a process. Job said, I was tried in the fire, but I came out like pure gold. There's some impurities in all of us that have to be processed out of us. Have you ever looked at the clothes in the washing machine? They don't just stand there and they spray the water, but they get rumbled and tumbled, and they get pushed until that stain comes out of you. That unforgiveness got to come out of you. That jealousy got to come out of you. That gossip got to come out of you. That sexual demon got to come out of you. So God allows us to go through a process. And here's what you got to understand. Trust the process. Huh? What he also told Jeremiah, he said, go down to the potter's house. I want to show you something. And he went down there and he seen a potter that had a work on the wheel, and he was spinning it. But when it wasn't right, he smashed it and started it over. I don't know how many times God has had to start over on me, But I'm trying to tell you, I'm starting to get it right because God is working me over. God is taking me under. God is washing my soul. God is changing my life. We used to sing a song and say, Lord, make me over. Make me over again. If you find anything that's not like you, God, make me over again. I'm still too angry. I'm still too haughty. I'm still too envious. God, work on me because I want what you want for my life. I want what you want for my life. What you don't like, I don't want to like. What you want, I want. So God, work on me. I believe in grace. I believe in forgiveness, but you still got to go through the fire. But when he says, after the fire, I'm still going to visit you. Now, with that context, read verse 11.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil.
I know I got you in the fire, but I got thoughts of goodness for you. I know I got you on the backside of the desert, but I'm waiting because I know you're going to come through. You have to understand that even in the middle of your worst situation, God says, I still got a plan for them. I know you're behind bars, but I still got a plan for them. I know you're in the wrong relationship, but I still got a plan. And if you're sitting in this seat, God still has a plan for your life.
Read the rest of it.
To give you an expected end.
To give you an expected end. It means the end that he expects. Some of y'all don't have a choice but to be godly because God said this is what I put you on the earth to be. You might fight it, you might run from it, but you can't be nothing but what I called you to be. I tried to drink it away. I tried to pornography it away. But God wanted me to preach the word. So he processed me. He worked on me. And here I am today. And I'm not done being processed. But I know the thoughts that my God thinks for me. To give me a hope. To give me a future. God's plan is all I need.
All right. Let's go a little deeper in this thing. Somebody say, go deeper, Pastor. Oh, yes, sir. Put this on the screen. What if this failure is a part of the plan God has for your life?
What if the worst mistake of your life was always in God's plan? Now, I'm not saying that God plans for you to do wrong. But what God does, he reworks and rewrites the plan that no matter what you do, you never get out of his plan because he's the one that has the white out. He wipes it out and rewrites it and makes everything work together. You thought you was going under and God said, I still got a plan. Let me rewrite this. See, when Adam and Eve messed up, God rewrote a plan. And when he came to the garden, he said, I know you messed up. And he handed out curses. And he said, this little serpent is going to crawl on the ground. And he's going to nip at your heels, but you're going to crush his head. It looks bad, but God rewrote the plan. God is the master author and the master writer and the master painter. And he can fix the situation all the way up because he, at the end of the day, he's still God. And there's nothing you can do to get outside of his will as long as you let God use you. Everything you've been through in your life, God can use it for his glory. And sometimes the failure was part of the original plan because you was too high-minded. You was too self-righteous. And you knew I wouldn't sin. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. Next thing you know, whoops. You wasn't as saved as you thought you was. God allowed you to get tripped up to show you there's nobody perfect but him. Sometimes you're just one fall away from some humility. Some of y'all just need to bump your head to come back to reality and realize. You know, you ever had your kids, They running through the house. You said, stop running. You're going to run into something. Stop running. You're going to run into something. And finally, you said, nah, I ain't going to tell them no more. The next thing you know, And what do you tell them? I told you. See, I tried to warn you, but you didn't want to listen. So I allowed your actions to teach the lesson. Sometimes failure is your greatest lesson. Put this up there. This is what we assume success is. It's a straight line. Once I say yes to God, boom, I'm successful. Once I put money in the offering, boom, I'm prosperous. Once I go to the altar, all my health is healed. That's what we assume success is. But here's the truth. Success is all over the place. And I'm here to let somebody know you're still successful. It don't look like success, but God ain't through with you yet. We used to sing a song that says, the devil is a liar. God is not through blessing me. I know it don't look right, but I'm still successful. I'm still the head and not the tail. I'm still above only and not beneath, because I'm still in God's plan. And the reason why I'm still in God's plan, because I'm still in God's hand. And as long as I'm in his hand, God can make me over again. If you haven't fallen, you're not ready for success. If you haven't gone through the jostle of life, you're not ready. But it's when you've gone through all that, that you can look at the devil and say, listen, there ain't nothing you can throw at me that I haven't already seen. I'm 60, I'm 65, I'm 70 years old. You tried to kill me a long time ago, but I'm still here. So I'm going to give God some glory. I'm going to give God some praise. I'm going to be what God called me to be. Somebody say, I'm still successful. I look like success. I smell like success. Oh, well, you ain't got no money in your bank, but you don't know my God. Your health is failing, but you don't know my God. Your marriage is ended in divorce, but you don't know my God. God still has a plan for my life. We fall down, but we get up. Oh, we fall down, but we get up. I'm still in his plan. I made some mistakes, but I'm still in his plan. I done some stupid stuff, but I'm still in his plan. And if he woke me up this morning, I'm going to give God glory. If he put breath in my body, I'm going to praise his name. You're not going to stop this. You're not going to block this. I'm still in God's plan. Still in his plan. I'm still in his plan. I'm still God's man. I'm still God's woman. I'm still God's person. I'm still in his plan. How about you give God some glory? Oh, yeah. Put this up here for me. You make all things work together for our good. Oh, see, the salt wasn't good. It was too salty. The sugar wasn't good. It was too sugary. The butter wasn't good. It was too fattening. The flour tasted nasty. But when the salt and the sugar and the butter and the flour came together, and when you stuck me in the oven, I came out like a pound cake. I came out smelling good. I came out tasting good. All things work together. The divorce worked together. The addiction worked together. The depression worked together. I am what God says I am. It's working together. How about you come give me a high five? It's working together for my good. God's plan. God's plan. God's plan. All right, I got to get us out of here, but I want you could go ahead and sit down. I want to go ahead and give us some practical information, then we're going to close. Dead situations. So what happens when it's beyond just a mistake? It's beyond just a failure. Now the situation is just dead. Now there's no life in it at all. I've been divorced so long, I don't even care. I've been sick so long, I don't even care. I haven't never spoken in tongues, so I stopped asking. I've been looking for my daddy. I still ain't found him. Still don't know who my daddy is, so I don't care. What if the situation is just dead? Sometimes it's not just the fact that all things work together for good, but sometimes, God, you put me in some precarious situations. You've allowed me to grow up without a daddy. My mama wasn't what I thought it was. Yeah, everybody not. See, what you have to understand, everybody hasn't walked the same road. And most times, not everybody is at liberty to tell you everything they've been through. So a lot of times, we are just dead men walking. Dead women walking. We got some stuff that's still dead. You in Deliverance Temple, but you're dead. You just got up and was praising, whooping, and hollering, but there's still some dead stuff in your life. So what do we do with the dead situations? What do we do when the stuff is just, when they pull the plug on it? I pulled the plug on my prosperity. I've been in Section 8 all my life. I pulled the plug on anything else. It's dead. Read what comes up next.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones.
Hold on. I said I was still in God's hand. But Ezekiel said the hand of the Lord put him in some dead situations. It says put him in a valley that was full of bones. Now, you can't get bones like that without first death. But not just death, because whenever I do a funeral, there's always a body laying there. You don't see bones. So it had to be death. And it has to be decomposition. So that means it has to be dead a long time for the bones to start coming through and showing through. And then it says we return back to dust. So it's dead, it's decomposed, and it's dirty. Read verse 2.
And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry.
Not only is it dead, decomposed, dark, dusty, damp, and dry. God, why do you put me in some situations that are just impossible and unbearable? I know y'all say, but have you ever asked God, why are you so rough on me, God? Seem like other folk can get away with a much less than me. They riding good, living good, smelling good. I gotta fight for everything I've got. I love you, God. Why are you so hard on me? Read the next verse.
And he said unto me.
Hold on, stop that. Stop. I just heard this in my spirit. God reserves his greatest trials for his strongest people. So the reason why, when you saying why, God's saying, because you can handle it. You're one of my best soldiers. I know it don't look like it, but I put you on the front line because I can trust you. Because there's some other folk, if I put them on the front line, they go back to Satan in a heartbeat. But I know your heart, and I know you're good. And guess what? Before you die, I'm going to turn it all the way around. Read.
And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?
Whew.
And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest.
Had God ever proposed something to you that you can't even answer? God puts you in something dead and says, can it live? And Ezekiel's like, I don't know. What you asking me for? You, God, can it live? Can all these seats be filled in 2018? I don't know, God. You, God, I'm just a man with a mic. I don't know. I'm trying. I'm believing. But at the end of the day, I don't know. Can I be prosperous? I don't know. I don't even know what I would do if I was prosperous, or what I would do if I was healthy, or what I would do if a man proposed to me. Truth of the matter, God, I don't even know. Sometimes you got to be honest with God. Yeah, I read the word. I heard the series. I heard the preacher preach. But the truth of the matter, I don't know. I want to believe. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because I've been in it so long. I've tied my bumper up so long. I've rolled mixed bus so long. I've been eating spam and beans so long. Yes, I want to believe, but I don't know. When you're going to stop being depressed, I don't know. When your mental health going to come back, I don't know. But God was asking Ezekiel what he thought. Ezekiel said, you God, you the one who got me in this, so why are you asking me? Next verse.
Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Oh, wait a second. The reason why he put him in something dead is because he had life in him. And he was trying to teach Ezekiel a principle. Whenever I put you something in something that's dead and dry and decomposed and dark and dusty and damp and it don't look like there's any hope, the reason why I sent you there is you've got something in your mouth. You may not believe it, you may not understand it, but prophesy to your situation. Talk to your depression. Talk to your marriage. Talk to your bank account. Declare the word of the Lord. I brought you here because you still have a mouth. I know you laying up in ICU, but you can think yourself well. I put you here because you still have the power to prophesy. And here's the thing. Don't say hear what Andre says, but hear the word of the Lord. Next verse. We're going to drop to verse 7.
So I prophesied as I was commanded.
This is very important. I didn't just say anything. I didn't pull something out of the sky. I prophesied as I was commanded. God, you tell me what to say and I'll say it. God, you tell me what to preach and I'll preach it. God, you tell me what to sing and I'll sing it. God, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. Read.
And as I prophesied, there was a noise.
Ooh, Jesus.
And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together. Bone to his bone.
Wait a second. This dead, decomposed, dark, dirty, damp, dry, and dusty thing, they begin to come together. Oh, I know it looks bad, but start prophesying to it. I know it looks dirty, but start prophesying to it. I know it feels rough, but start preaching to it. Start declaring the word of the Lord, and next thing you know, a noise and a shaking. And I'm moving. I'm here to let you know there's a shaking going on. There's a noise going on. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I hear something. Read. Come on.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
The reason why I put you there is because you can do one of two things. You can speak more death. Or you can declare life to a dead situation. Some of y'all need to start practicing and going to the hospital and walking the halls and speaking life to every room. You ought to go to the bank and start speaking life. You ought to walk the halls of these schools and declare not another school shooting. We can't trust the Democrats. We can't trust the Republicans. We can't trust the NRA. But I got life in my mouth. There will not be a school shooting in Muncie. I declare it because death and life is in my mouth. Ezekiel 37:7. Let's go back to that. We're going to close from here. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And bone came together, the bone to his bone. Next one. Proverbs 18:21 again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit up thereof. Now put this up on the screen, and this is what I want to leave you with. Failure is not final. When God puts you in a situation and you speak life over it, I don't care how long ago it happened. Failure cannot be final because it's all a part of God's plan. Come on, let's stand to our feet.